Are you ready? Ready to take a ride? Grab your coffee and strap yourself in, because the show is about to begin. From the front lines of America, Babylon, and transmitting worldwide on the internet and satellite, you are listening to Omega Man Radio Network with Shannon Davis.
We've got Dr. Sabrina Sessions in the house from Miracle Internet Church. She pastors Miracle Internet Church in Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Sabrina, would you like to open us in prayer? The mic is yours.
Praise the Lord. Can you hear me well?
Yes, ma'am. You're coming through good.
Good. Very good. Let me see if I can't help that out just a little first. Amen. Is that a little better?
You're coming through good.
All right. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we just want to thank you for your holy word. You're a holy God, and you call us to be a holy people. You call us to have a separated life unto you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the purging that the word brings. Jesus told the disciples to clean through the word. We thank you, Father, for cleaning our lives, for bringing to our attention those things, Lord, that we have not let go of, that are of the flesh, that are of the world, that are of the devil. Because you come, Lord, seeking a people who are without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You are able to keep us from falling and to present us blameless before your throne. And from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we bind Satan, the strong man, and all of his underlings. We close every portal in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We close and seal every demonic open door. We bind all technology attacks, all trafficking devils, all retaliation of the enemy, with the prince of the power of the air, all water spirits, all python spirits, leviathan spirits, Morgellons attacks. We bind the principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. We bind distractions, confusion, and rebellion in the name of Jesus Christ, idolatry and error. We ask you, Father, to give us eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to believe, and a mind to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church. We bind all deception and transference of evil spirits, all oppression and depression, and every spirit that denies the deity of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, and we give you praise that you are always with us. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the warring, linking angels, for the wall of fire with the glory of God in the midst. We thank you for the praising angels. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem and all who are in authority and all true Christians. And we lift up President Trump and his administration before you in the name of Jesus Christ. We cut ourselves free from all demonic soul ties in Jesus' name, attachments, covenants, vows, pledges, anything that connects us to the demonic realm. We bind the work of all witches, warlocks, sorcerers, wizards, and diviners in the name of Jesus Christ. We break all psychic prayers and psychic thoughts all curses, hexes, vexes, spells, charms, fetishes, all witchcraft, sorcery, and magic, all mind control and jinxes, all potions, bewitchments, all death and destruction, sickness, pain, and torment, and we return all evil works back to the sender according to the covenant in Jesus' name. We give you praise, Lord. We give you glory and we give you honor. And we thank you for the word of God being powerful tonight in our lives. Father, we come to the word of God saying, Lord, that we are not just forgetful hearers. No, Lord, we will not forget your word, for it's precious to us. But we will receive it and we will do it and live by it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, tonight, before I get started, I'm going to give you a little information. Miracle Internet Church is a ministry that's a legacy of love that God gave us. Dr. Pat Holliday was our previous pastor, and as she transitioned home to be with the Lord, I became the pastor. And I'm grateful to the Lord for having directed my steps this way all of my life. I never thought I would pastor anyone, but I can truly say it is one of the highlights of my life, probably one of the most important highlights of my life, and I never thought it would bring me this much pleasure and joy, but it does. And our website is www.miracleinternetchurch.com. If you've been looking for the materials from Dr. Pat's ministry, they can be found at our website. We have 10 years of worship services and more. We have a global prayer warriors prayer room where persons may come up and enter prayer requests, and the Lord will bring intercessors, our global prayer warriors from all over the world to pray. And we have a site for giving at Miracle Internet Church. We have a link to all of our books and ebooks, and we also have a link to the King James Version audio Bible in case you need to listen. Amen. And so we're located here in Jacksonville, Florida, and God is blessing us, as I'm certain he's blessing you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tonight we're going to talk about Jesus humbled himself. Yes, he did. And he gave us the example on how we should live and what we ought to do as his followers. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." So you see, Jesus was in human flesh, and he chose to humble himself, just as we must choose to humble ourselves. And he chose obedience. Obedience to the will of his Father, just as we must choose obedience, even to the death. The Bible says we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives unto death. Excuse me. Psalm 119 tells us that the entrance of God's word gives us light. Wherever we find darkness in our lives, we need to seek the Lord for his word, because his word brings light. It gives understanding to those of us who do not understand. And 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, "If my people, which are called by my name," so that would mean, that would exclude everyone of a different faith. It would exclude Islam. It would exclude Buddhists. It would exclude all the other sects and groups that Jesus Christ is not their Lord and Savior. It would exclude persons that are non-Trinitarians. These are people that are called by God's name. And he said that we will humble ourselves. Jesus has given us the example, and we ought to do as the word declares. We must choose to humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. Well, we're going to talk about some of that wicked way tonight. God is clearly telling us that we are much too important in our own eyes. We think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. That's why he tells us that we should humble ourselves. We are overloaded with vain imaginations, and for the most part, we don't want anyone to correct us, not even God. You may say, ouch. We live our daily lives without fully seeking the Lord's direction on each of our planned activities. We almost behave as though we can handle our days without God. We'll just call on Him if things get sticky. We'll ask Him to help us. We refuse to surrender all of our plans and ask Him to establish our ways. You see, all we're going to do is ask God to give us just a little help so we can get by. We're not planning on taking everything that we desire or want or think ought to be done and turning ourselves and all of our plans over to Him and allowing Him to orchestrate it as He would desire. That's not what we're doing. We're not surrendering everything and all of ourselves. We're just sitting over here asking God for a little help to help us get through what we have to do. Not to take over. No. That's not what we're doing. We want to sit in the driver's seat. And we want the Holy Spirit to sit next to us in the passenger seat and be our co-pilot. Well, no, that's not what God requires. He wants us to sit in the back seat, and He'll take over the front seat and the steering wheel and the transmission and everything else, and He will run the vehicle where He wants it to go. But you see, we don't like that because we want to be in control. We feel that's too much surrender. That's why we feel the need to be in control of our lives. But you see, when you come to the foot of the cross, when you come to Calvary, you give up your right to be in control. The problem is you want to partially come to the cross. You want your sins washed away and you want fire insurance, but you don't want to sell out to Jesus. Well, that won't work because the Bible says He's our Lord and Savior. So if He never becomes the Lord of your life, the master of your life, how do you expect to receive Him as Savior? What's your plan? You see, but in this passage and many others, God is calling His people to deeper levels of humility on a daily basis. You know, we aren't really the suchy-muchies that we think we are. We just like to tell ourselves and other people that because we want their admiration and respect. But what we should be doing is humbling ourselves before the throne of God and seeking the Lord for His mercy. Pride is an over-high opinion of oneself, basically speaking. That's pretty much where it comes from. And it's conceit. It produces haughty and arrogant behavior as a result. It brings an excessive belief in one's own worth, merit, superiority, and it invites vanity. God hates pride, but is pleased with humility. So in James chapter 4 and verse 6, God politely informs us that He resisteth the proud. He keeps a long distance from the proud. However, He gives His grace to the humble. In Proverbs chapter 6, He tells us there's six things that He hates. He didn't say there He dislikes them or He finds them to be inconvenient. He says He hates them. And seven are an abomination to Him. And among them is a proud look and a lying tongue. And they seemingly go very well together. A proud look and a lying tongue. In that same chapter in verse 5, He tells us that everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to him, and that those persons will not go unpunished. Proverbs 8 tells us that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, even if we find it in ourselves, saints. We should stop pretending that we have no sin, because if we do, the truth is not in us, the Bible says. The fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord, is to hate evil, to hate pride, to hate arrogancy, to hate the evil way, and the froward mouth. He says he can't stand it, and he's going to stay away from it. Surely, we don't want God to stay away from us. Proverbs 21 tells us that a high look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Yes, we do have sin. Even though we don't admit it often, we do. Psalm 138 says, though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. He keeps his distance from the proud. He's not interested in pulling close. Why? Because we are so self-sufficient and so independent, and we're so busy proving what we can do without God's help. That's why. In Habakkuk chapter 2, the Lord says that, behold, his soul is lifted up. The soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. So if your mind, your will, your imagination, your emotions, all of that is all lifted up, you're not right on the inside. You're not walking around with truth in the inward parts. No, you're doing something different. And in 1 John, he says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So, saints, we can't hold on to things that are just not of God. They have to leave our lives at some point. And now is an excellent opportunity. One of the most awful things about pride is that all humans are prone to it, and some more than others. Because Jesus was in human flesh as we are, he had to overcome the temptation and win the battle. He shows us how to accomplish this, and we must do it. Yes, we must do it. There is no pride in heaven. You recall that Lucifer thought that that was something he ought to possess, is pride. And he got put out. So God doesn't have pride in heaven. And if we plan to go there, we best plan to leave ours at the foot of the cross. You see, sinful pride is a sin, not a virtue. And it brings horrid consequences. In Ezekiel 28, it reads, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. Thy wisdom and with thine understanding thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic or merchandising thou hast increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. How dangerous. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee with their swords, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers. For I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Saints, it's dangerous to think that you're more than you really are. It's dangerous to let anyone or any entity, even the devil, convince you of that. It's an outright lie, and you need to call it to be so and refute it in Jesus' name. You know, God's people need to practice coming out of agreement with the devil and his demons and staying in agreement with our Lord and Savior. It's very helpful in our Christian walk. The Bible says that God will bring down high looks. And you say, well, I don't see him bringing down anybody else's. Well, keep watching. You will. And hopefully you will have repented before he gets around to you. He tells us in Proverbs that pride brings fights. It brings contention. It brings strife. But the Holy Spirit likes unity in the body of Christ. The Bible says in Proverbs that pride goes before destruction. My, surely we don't want destruction in our lives, but if we hold on to pride, we will surely have it. Because the scriptures are truth and do not lie. And a haughty spirit comes before a fall. You know, there's some people you just can't warn. You just can't tell them. Well, you know, you're kind of getting a little out of hand there with that. Oh, no. I'm not prideful. Why, I tithe and I attend the church of the great saints of God, and my pastor is, and on it goes. But God heard and God saw. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 11. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Praise the Lord. Pride exalts self and not God. God alone is deserving of the glory, even of our own lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us that whatsoever we do, do it all to the glory of God. You see, the problem is some of us want some glory. And we want to get it somewhere that we have no business trying to get it from. 1 Corinthians says, the base things of the world, the things which are despised, God hath chosen. Yes, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why? So that no flesh should glory in his presence. You see, saints, there are things that we should not do, things that are not ours to do. But we realize that there are some people that learned pride growing up. They learned it from their families. And so they didn't know it was wrong. They thought this was normal. This is the way things are supposed to be. But God brings us into correction when we enter his kingdom. And he shows us where we have erred from the path, where we've gone wrong. You see, we want to be ready when the Holy Spirit takes everyone out of the earth. We want to be ready when it's our time to go. And we want to have an example of our lives that can be an epistle read by all men. You know, we are the Bible that some people will read. Some people will never pick up a book, but they will read our lives. And they will determine if they wish to be a Christian based on how they've seen us live. And some of those people are our children and our grandchildren and our other relatives that are not Christians yet. We've been praying for them, but sometimes we've been the stumbling block as well. Amen. In Jeremiah, God says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Don't try to take glory from the wisdom that God has given you. It came from him. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. The might he has came from God. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. You see, there was this day I was walking through this conference at a hotel in Atlanta. And this lady came up to me and she said, well, you know, I've met so-and-so and so. And my, he's a handsome man. And I turned to her immediately and said, well, have you met his parents? You see, she was going to attribute to him his physique, his good looks. And I just reminded her that he didn't come up with that on his own. That was a work done between God and his parents. That's how he got DNA. That's how he got his looks. He didn't drum it up himself. Somebody else did that. And he couldn't take credit for it. Nor could she give him credit for it. Even though I'm sure he was one of those that liked to stand in the mirror and admire it, he was not responsible for it. Amen? So, saints, God alone is the great one. He's the great one. And we need to remember that he is. You see, in Acts 12, Herod decided one day, arrayed in his royal apparel, sitting on his throne, making this great oration, somebody gave a shout and said, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. And you see, Herod sat there and received that praise and glory. And the angel of the Lord smote him because he did not give the glory to God. So as a result, he gave up the ghost and the worms ate him. My, how exciting. What an end. What an end. So, in giving God the glory, we know that God is high above all the earth, and that he is exalted far above all the other gods. He is not subservient to, nor is he less than. Money that people make a god is not greater than our God. It's not. People act as though money gives them the anointing, but it doesn't. It most certainly does not. In Philippians chapter 2, wherefore God also hath exalted him and given a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. So you see, Jesus is exalted. Not money, not material wealth, not men's acclaim, none of those things. Psalm 66, come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. You see, God has his own plans for us, and we should submit to his plans. Our God is the true source of all that we have and our abilities to do all that we accomplish. To do all that we accomplish. You know, Jesus tells us in the scriptures that we can't accomplish anything without him. That's what he tells us. We cannot accomplish anything without him. Without him, we can do nothing. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So it's God that's providing us with these things that we enjoy. I love this scripture in 1 Kings chapter 20. Thy silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives also and thy children, even the goodliest are mine. Everything belongs to God. I know you think all those stocks you have and all those bonds and all those securities are yours, but I have news for you. Everything belongs to God. Haggai chapter 2. God says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. So, while you're busy on the stock market trying to tell them how to do things, that's God's stuff. It doesn't belong to you. You're just borrowing it. God says, I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. We need to give God the glory for who he really is. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, while the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God did that. It wasn't us. It was God. In Isaiah 40, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out the heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or been his counselor, or hath taught him? With whom took he counsel? Who instructed him? Who taught him in the path of judgment? And who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? He said, the nations are as a drop in a bucket, just a drop, and are counted as small dust of the balance. God is in control of this world, and it belongs to him. He's not coming to say, okay, this is your world, and I'm going to let you live here for a while. No, it's all his. Everything is his. You look at when you look at your backyard, that's his too. It's not yours. You're just borrowing it. You're living on borrowed time and on God's property. Our evil pride, better known to some as the spirit of Leviathan, causes us to ignore, forget, and fail to fully rely on God. Now, saints, that's not wise for us to think we can depend on ourselves. Because God said all the nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him as less than nothing. All of the nations, all of this news that we read, it's all still nothing to him. He tells us in Deuteronomy 8 that if our hearts be lifted up and we forget the Lord our God, that we'll have acquaintance with bondage again in our lives. Haven't we come out of that? Do we want to go back into bondage? Liberty in Jesus is so much better. Psalm 10, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. So now, why are we pretending to act as the wicked? You know, the wicked do this thing. They have this in common. They make decisions and choices without fully considering all the moral consequences. So they don't consider things from God's point of view. They're filled, their hearts exalted, and they have forgotten God. And in Nehemiah, God says, but they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to his commandments and refused to obey. Neither were they mindful of his wonders that he did among them. They hardened their necks and in their rebellion appointed them a captain to take them right back into bondage. You shouldn't live that close to Satan. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. God still didn't forsake them, no matter what. They testified against him, and they dealt proudly, and they didn't hearken to his commandments, but they sinned against his judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. They withdrew the shoulder and hardened their neck and would not hear. Pride provides an exaggerated sense of greatness. That's awful. It's disgusting, actually. It actually is, saints. We cannot allow this sin to remain in our lives. We have to rid ourselves of this once and for all. You know, you can get the spirits cast out, but you also have to keep them out. So that means there must come a change of heart, a change of thought, a change of belief, some godly sorrow that works true repentance. We have to change because we want to be like Jesus. We have to change because we want to please God. We cannot stay in the same position and expect the doors of heaven to swing open, the gates of heaven to swing open, and everybody say, come on in. There's no sin there. We can't take, but we're going to be changed. Yes, I suggest you repent. Amen. And there comes a time we just have to deal with the Word. And we have to finally submit to our God and do what the Word says to do. So, after we've walked in this exaggerated sense of greatness that God never intended for us to walk in, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? In Proverbs 26, thou sayest, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. That's pretty bad. It really is, saints. We have allowed the devil to get an advantage over us, and we are not supposed to give him any room at all. None. We're supposed to give him no room. We're not supposed to make any place for the devil. And it's our fault if we do. And God calls his people to repentance. In Romans chapter 12, the Lord says, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. We're supposed to tell ourselves the truth about ourselves. We're not supposed to deceive ourselves. We're not supposed to allow others to lie to us. Amen. We're not. We're supposed to walk in truth. Because God desires truth in the inward parts. In the inward parts, God desires truth. His truth. In Obadiah, he says, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the cliffs of the rock, whose habitation is high, that hast said in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Saints, I know that we think we're okay. And there are others in our group that tell us we're okay. But God is not playing that game. He says to us quite explicitly that pride creates self-exaltation and a desire to be honored. You say, well, I'm not one of those people. Well, I got news for you. If you're in a fleshly body, you've been tempted with pride. The Bible says that Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Jesus Christ learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And so, in the book of Jude, verse 16, it says, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage, in order to gain an advantage. Saints, there's nothing holy about that. Nothing pure about that. That's not the Christian lifestyle. You know, folks like to claim they're Christians, but they aren't really too excited about living the Christian lifestyle. You know, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and the Sadducees for the way they lived, because they walked in pride, hypocrisy, and false religion continually. In Matthew chapter 23, beginning with verse 5, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Everything they're doing, they want somebody to notice. And love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Really? To be called of men, Rabbi, and you still can't recognize the Messiah when he shows up? And you seek to kill him? That's something's a little backward about that, don't you think? That's not the way it's supposed to work. So, what are we going to do about it? The question is still there. Are you going to continue in it? Are you going to finally let go? Are you going to finally go into your prayer closet and admit to God that you've been walking around in this the whole time, and you finally are ready to stop and to live for him? The Bible says, for men to search their own glory is not glory. Well, pride has this know-it-all disposition. They know it all. You've met that. Haughty, lofty, things too high for them. The Bible says that we are to walk in the same humility that Jesus walked in. And we are deceived to believe that we are wise if we think that. In, let's see which scripture, Proverbs 3, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. That means that when you repent, you turn around and you walk in the direction of the Lord. And you go and sin no more. That's what that means. It doesn't mean that, okay, you repented in your prayer closet. Lord, forgive me. I need your mercy. And then you go right back out. And once you're around your friend or those that recognize you, you pick it up again. No, that's not it. It's go and sin no more. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. And if any man think he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. Nothing as he ought to know. So, saints, pride, intellectual pride of the carnal mind, is at war with God. At war with God. Of the tree of the knowledge and of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. Thou shalt surely die. James says that if we have bitter envying and strife in our hearts, don't glory and don't lie against God's truth. This wisdom didn't come from God, but it's earthy, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. And to be carnally minded, to be worldly minded, to live our lives in intellectual pride is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The carnal mind cannot walk in agreement with God, and two cannot walk together lest they be agreed. And lest we forget, gay pride is sin as well. Why? Because that which may be known of God is manifest to everyone. God's shown it to everyone. And so everyone is without excuse. Because when we knew God, we're supposed to glorify him as God. But if we are unthankful and vain in our imaginations, our foolish heart becomes darkened. You see, it starts in our minds, in our vain, foolish imaginations, and then goes to the heart. And therefore, professing ourselves to be wise, we become fools. And we begin to do foolish things, all the way to the point where we don't want to retain God in our knowledge. So he gives us over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You see, you cannot exalt your flesh against the Lord. You cannot choose to worship the creature more than the Creator who made it. You have to choose in this life if God is going to be your God, if Jesus Christ is going to be your God, or you're going to be your own God. And being your own God is not a wise choice, but many people have chosen it. Pride ought to be repented of. And we should seek the Lord for his humility. His humility. He has humility for us. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Better than themselves. Yes, better. We're to be subject one to another, clothed with humility, because God does resist the proud, and he does give grace to the humble. God's grace is upon us when we humble ourselves. He's for us, you see. In Micah, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God? The sacrifices of God are a broken heart, a broken and a contrite heart. That's what God is looking for. We should confess our pride to God and ask him to reveal our areas of weakness. We should practice not voicing our pride through one-upmanship or needing to have the last word. Nobody is right all of the time except God. Ask the Lord, why do I feel I am always right or superior to others? Pride causes arguments and strife that usher in division instead of unity and peace. Pride causes us to seek the glory and honor that properly belongs to God. Jesus Christ condemned racial pride, gender pride, and spiritual pride. The pride of the Pharisees that they displayed was that holier-than-thou living, social pride, financial pride, educational pride. Jesus Christ, much to the contrary, however, urged his followers to take upon themselves a childlike attitude of humility. Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. He was seen in the company of the undesirables in society. Jesus took the shame of our sin upon himself on the cross. Jesus humbled himself unto death for us. So, saints, we're right back where we started. God is saying to us, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. God wants to unleash the greatest revival of all times, the former and the latter rain, during our days. However, we must qualify for that. And he's waiting for us to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek his face, and to turn from our wicked ways. Then he will hear from heaven and forgive our sin and heal our land. In Jesus' name, amen.
I say amen to that. Great word today with Pastor Sabrina Sessions, Miracle Internet Church. Dr. Sabrina, I want you to tell people about your online and in-person services, how they can be a part of Miracle Internet Church. Tell us about your website and how they can support it also.
All right. Well, we have a beautiful website that I'm enjoying thoroughly, www.miracleinternetchurch.com. We are live on the internet every Wednesday evening and Friday evening at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States of America. And we are online and live every Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We also have a local church here in Jacksonville, Florida, and that meets on Sunday at 12:30 p.m. And we meet at the Four Points by Sheraton Hotel on Bay Meadows Road in Jacksonville, Florida. And right across our website, you'll find the PayPal sign at the bottom of the page. And across our banner, you'll find a place that says Giving at Miracle Internet Church. If you would prefer not to give electronically, you may mail it to us at the address listed there. And we encourage everyone to peruse our website, www.miracleinternetchurch.com. We have quite a bit here for you. There are over 140 books and ebooks. We have over 10 years of archived sermons, plus other sermons and videos. You may become a member of Miracle Internet Church. And if the Lord so leads you as an intercessor, you may become one of our global prayer warriors. We have a chat room while we are on the air live so that we can fellowship one with another, as the Bible says we should do. And we have a global prayer warriors prayer room. If you listen to our broadcast, you will hear Brother Bill give the testimonies that are in our prayer room as well. And God is doing miraculous things. Absolutely miracles all day long via the prayer room. Anyone may come up and sign into the prayer room. You are limited to 5 lines for each prayer request. and give your prayer request. And God brings up intercessors from all over the world that are a part of our global prayer warriors. And we pray over the prayer request, and we see God move miraculously every day of the week. So we encourage you to join us here at Miracle Internet Church, a legacy of God's love. And we thank you for your donations, for your giving, and for your love, support, and prayers. And we pray for you in Jesus' name.
Praise God. Dr. Sabrina, an honor to have you on. We love and appreciate you. And we're going to see you back very soon. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you. God bless you all.
God bless you. Friends, that was Dr. Sabrina Sessions, Pastor Sabrina, MiracleInternetChurch.com. This is Shannon Ray Davis, and you are listening to Omega Man Radio. Welcome to my world, the world of the Omega Man. Join us here for the nightly marathon, broadcasting Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern. You can find us here on YouTube, and we encourage you to report for duty. Get trained up. War of the Saints is coming. You want to be an overcomer and endure till the end. We will teach you how. We cast out devils. We command healing to the sick in Jesus' name. And we preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ to win souls for Jesus. I want to encourage you right now to subscribe right here on YouTube to this channel. Smash the like button and share a link to our live chat room to everyone you know. Right there on Facebook. Get them to come on out and tune in and join in the fight against the host of hell. If you'd like to support this work financially, we have a PayPal button on our website. We have GoFundMe, Zelle, even take Bitcoin. And we thank you in advance for partnering with us. Our website is OmegaManRadio.com. One more thing before we start tonight's show. To the demons tuning in, we're coming for you, demon. No demon is safe.